The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good morning, everyone. And so this week, the topic is the seven factors of awakening. And the mindfulness, investigation, energy, joy, tranquility, concentration, and equanimity. So these seven are qualities of our inner life, of the mind perhaps, that grow and develop as we do mindfulness practice, as we do the practices that are the different, you know, exercises that are taught in this text that we've been doing these last weeks. And and to some degree, these get awoken. The seven factors of awakening, I think of them as we become more awake, more present, these begin to become strong. And they're ordinary faculties, they're ordinary states of being that I like to use the analogy of waking up from a very nice afternoon nap where maybe there's the sunlight is streaming into the room and it's and waking up content, happy, relaxed, and the mind is kind of clear. And we might lay still on our back and the eyes open. And nothing needs to be done, nothing we have to figure out or do, and just contentedly just laying there, maybe looking at the ceiling or looking at if a light is streaming through the windows and there's dust particles in the air, just kind of watching the dust particles or looking at the texture of the ceiling or something. And things are seen clearly, not because we're looking intensively, but because we're not preoccupied by other things. And we're just there in a simple way, ordinary way, and awareness is present. And just it's present, it's aware. It isn't like we're trying to be aware. We're just in the wakefulness after a nap, we're just aware. And there's a clarity to the awareness where we can see and look at the details in the room, the details of the particular texture of the ceiling or the dust in the air or something. And there's a kind of delightful energy that's not striving energy, not trying, but we're certainly not about to fall back to sleep or it just kind of, there's a clarity in the energy that's just there to do this wonderful gazing around the room in this after nap revelry. And it might feel kind of joyful to do it. Maybe joy is too strong, a post-nap experience, but maybe it's a sense of well-being, just being there and content and cozy. And there's a level of tranquility. There's a calmness. We kind of feel tranquil and feel almost like the body feels like it doesn't have to do anything. It's just there. And maybe there's even some degree of concentration present. We're studying the dancing dust in the sunlight, and we're just kind of absorbed in that, and that absorbed in the dust in the dance is the concentration. And then there's equanimity. Like right now, all kinds of things can happen that normally we would be concerned with, but we don't care. It's just like the mind doesn't knows it, but it's not so concerned about it. And maybe there's some messiness in the room, and messiness is not something to be concerned about. It's just more something to marvel at, just seeing and being with it. So, if the seven factors of awakening, as we settle into this practice, they become stronger and stronger. And the second one is called, usually in English, is called investigation. The Pali term, the ancient Buddhist term that's translated as investigation, is a differentiation of dharmas. So it involves a differentiation of things, a distinguishing of things. And I think of it as how we begin to distinguish things as there becomes more and more clarity. So those of you who are here from the beginning today, you see that the fog is beginning to clear. The sun is coming out. And now there's more details to be seen in the hillside behind me. And you even see the faint outline of the higher mountain behind the first hill. As the fog clears and the light appears, the eyes, without studying and working too much at it, just notices more details and can distinguish. Right now, I can distinguish there's a row of trees behind me, and I can start distinguishing different trees from each other. And it just kind of, I don't have to work at it, it's just obvious. They're different colors and shapes a little bit. But before, when it was so foggy, I had a sense there was trees there, but it was just a row that I couldn't distinguish anything between the trees. So it might not seem like an important thing to be able to distinguish things from each other, but this is what comes with greater and greater clarity. And this word dharma that we're distinguishing can mean different things. And I'll say what that is in a moment, but I just want to emphasize that it's this capacity to distinguish things, to see things in their clarity, in and of themselves, distinct from other things, that begins to free the mind from the fog of attachment, the mist of clinging and wanting and aversion and preoccupations we have. And, how many times have you or have I met someone I've known from before, and I carried with me the ideas of who they were, the past experience of them, and in fact they had changed, they were different today. And it took a while to realize that, because I was living in the fog of my memory of them, that I was a little bit living, projecting on them or seeing them. And to not have bring with me the past and be able to see something clearly for itself in the present, a person, a friend, then we have a chance to distinguish what's unique and what's really happening in this moment with them, as opposed to missing it because we're still living a little bit in the past information. So part of the distinguishing is to distinguish what we perceive, one perception from another. If you have a dim morning light without the light on in the room, you can't distinguish very much. You kind of know, maybe you see rough objects, but you don't see the details of the objects. Turn on the light, and then without any work on the part of the mind, you see all these details. If I take off my glasses and look in certain distances, it's all blurry. But if I put on my glasses, it's all clear, without having to work, and now it's seeing the details. So the same way as mindfulness gets clearer and clearer and more settled present moment awareness, the details stand out. And as the details become clearer and clearer, what we distinguish is the difference between our ideas of an object, of what we're perceiving, and how the process of the perception, the ways in which things are actually impermanent, arising and passing and constant. And so the river of perceptions that flow through us in this relaxed, open, receptive mind breaks up the solidity that is always going to be there with clinging. We hold on to things and want things to be a certain way, or push them away because they are a certain way we don't like. And so beginning to distinguish differentiate the process of change that's constantly going on from the ideations of constancy or fixity or ideas we overlay on top of things. The other part of this differentiation of dharmas is dharma can also mean action. activities. And so we start seeing that how we practice influences the practice itself. So if we're striving and pushing, that we feel the tension of that. The more clear we become, the more receptive we are in the present moment, we become clear that striving, pushing actually hinders the clarity. It gets in the way of the practice. And we see that there's a better consequence if we don't strive, if we relax and open up. If we spend a lot of time analyzing or judging, after a while it becomes, we differentiate, we see clearly, oh, when I'm mindful, I've confused thinking with mindfulness. And I thought that if I spent a lot of time thinking, judging my experience, that I was present for it. But there's in fact, there's another way of being present without the judgments, without the thinking about things so much in elaborate ways. And so we're distinguishing how we're practicing and starting to discover ways that are more conducive for peace, for letting, for relaxation, for calm, for openness, for clarity. And that Dharma also means action. We also begin more and more aware of the consequences of our actions in our daily life. And sometimes we start seeing that if I live with dishonesty, with not breaking the precepts, that has a very deleterious effect on me. If I and the consequence is not good, I feel the after effect of it. And seeing the after effect, the consequences that are not so desirable, helps us to clean up our life and live a better way. Not so much because it's a moral thing to do, but rather because we see clearly it's beneficial. And we distinguish better and better what is beneficial and what is not. And as the Dharma practice deepens and unfolds, we people get more and more refined or more and more subtle clear about what is beneficial and what is not. It's not a judgment, it's not a moral thing, it's not like a statement about our personal worth. It just means, as a matter of fact, you take your hand off the hot stove. Don't begin gossiping about someone because it just feels like you take your hand off the hot stove. That doesn't feel good to gossip and, or demean someone or something. So this differentiation of dharmas. So the word, when we translate it as an investigation, some people think they have to probe and peer deeply and kind of analyze or figure out what's going on. It's not that way. It's more like we say the question, what is this? And then we allow it to reveal itself to us. There's almost like a little lingering in awareness that gives a little time for every experience to show itself a little bit better to us. Oh, that's how it is. So the perceptions can be clear. The perceptions can take in more fully what's happening. And so investigation is that receptivity of the mind that takes in everything with greater clarity. So, and in the clarity, things become distinguished, become differentiated, and then we're on the path to wisdom when we start seeing with greater and greater clarity. So you might, as you go about your day today, experiment with this. And that is, find times during the day where you're not rushing on to the next thing, the next thought, but rather take some time when to just stay there, stay in, and just kind of take in the experience of the moment, and as if you're going to discover something new. So even something you do every day, maybe take some time to just stand there or sit there with it and just look around and in a relaxed way and see, what can you see that's new? Is there anything new here that you've never noticed before? Stand in your kitchen and just look around the kitchen and let it reveal itself to you and see if you can find something new. That ability to see something new in a relaxed way utilizes this differentiation of the dharmas, the second factor of awakening. And as you do that, that investigation, that differentiation, See if you can notice how your mind is. See if you can have a beneficial mind state as you receptively feel and look and perceive around you to discover something new that you've never noticed. So thank you. And as I'm talking, I see that it's getting a little more and more clear behind me. It's a wonderful fresh air and the birds and the workers came. I don't know if you could hear them, to begin their morning work and some kind of a construction project that's going on. So thank you all very, very much. And I'll be here one more day tomorrow, and then I'll be back at IMC. Thank you.